Good morning, I'm Jeremy. We are up to the third in our series on Philippians. To keep it a bit shorter while we're online this morning, we're not going to work through the whole of Philippians 3, just the first half. So it might be good for you to have Philippians 3 open on your phone or whatever you have, so you can see it all. And I'm going to pray that God would help us as we work through the first half together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that we would much prefer to be meeting together in person, but we do thank you for the chance that we have anyway to hear your word, think it through together online. We thank you for the technology that makes it possible. I pray that the technology would really work for me and for those streaming. And I pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what is on your resume? Maybe you haven't thought about it for a while. I had to think about it recently, applying for a grant that could hopefully boost my church role from 40% up to 60%. So worth putting in for. But unfortunately, as I dug out my old resume, it was a bit old and crusty. So I still had the profile picture from before I got old and crusty. That's how out of date it was. So I had to think through what have I done since then, and also what should I take out? Like those 10 years in IT used to seem important, but does all that detail now distract from the very different thing I'm doing now? Maybe you haven't thought about your resume for ages like I hadn't. But as Paul writes to the Christians in Philippi, he actually gives them his own resume. But you'll notice it's not a professional resume, it's a personal resume. It's not a resume to prove he's worthy of a job or a grant. It's a resume to prove he's worthy as a person. Now, if you're an Israelite, this was actually the dream resume. Verse 5, you couldn't get any more Israelite than that. Verse 6, you couldn't get any more faithful and obedient to Israel's law than Paul there in verse 6. So on these merits, Paul would have been accepted by every Israelite, not just as decent, but actually as elite. Now, you probably don't write out your own personal resume the way Paul does here for the Philippians, but I think we do all have one. A personal resume that we keep in our minds and we present to people in different ways. A list of merits that we hope makes us worthy as people. So if you work, for instance, think about your achievements at work. Aren't you at least partly driven by a desire to show you're a worthy contributor, to earn the respect of your peers? If so, then those achievements at work are on your personal resume. Or if you've got kids, think about your kids' behavior, particularly their behavior in front of other people. If your kids behave well, like young Serena at the airport, then you look like a good parent, right? But if your kids behave badly, don't you feel that extra level of angst when you know other people are watching? Like, how does this reflect on me as a parent? If so, then your parenting is on your personal resume. If you post on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, And that can be just to share with friends what's going on for you at the moment. It can also be, though, to show people, this is the good life that I have. So those great things that you post, they're actually part of your personal resume. If you leave critical comments on other people's posts on hot button issues like the environment, transgender, vaccination, you're probably not naive enough to think you're going to change their mind, right? So why do you do it? It's more to signal what you think. Because having the right opinions on those kind of issues is part of your personal resume. It's actually just how society works. And I guess because it's how society works, people often assume that's how God works as well. You do good deeds, you build up a list of merits on your personal resume, and if it's good enough, then God will accept you. He'll declare you worthy, declare you righteous. But when Paul gives his personal resume, it's not so we'll be impressed. It's certainly not so we can go and build a personal resume like his. When Paul gives his resume, it's actually to show that even building the best personal resume, it's actually worse than pointless. You see that in the next verse. Verse 7, Paul says, everything that was gained to me, so that's the social credentials and religious achievements from verses 5 and 6, now I consider to be a loss. More than that, so not just his Israelite identity and law-keeping, I also consider everything to be loss. Everything people put on their personal resume. Not just but pointless, worse than that, actually, a loss. Now, how do you feel about that? It can be unsettling to hear Paul talk this way because a lot of us have invested an awful lot in our personal resumes. So it can actually hurt to hear that it was all worse than pointless. But believe it or not, Paul actually tells us this so that we can rejoice, verse 1. We can rejoice because when you replace your old resume with a new resume, it actually replaces old anger with new joy. We're going to see how that works this morning. So what is this new resume? What does Paul replace his personal resume that he'd invested so much in? What does he replace it with? Well, look again at verse 7. Everything that was gained to me personally and everything else I consider to be loss. Why? Because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Because of him, I've suffered the loss of all things and consider them dung. Why so harsh on everything else? So that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Not having a righteousness of my own from the law, as Paul used to say, but one that is through faith in Christ. Paul ditches his personal resume, as impressive as it was, as much as he's invested in it, to instead be found in Jesus, trusting Jesus to make him a worthy, valid, righteous, not trusting himself and his own achievements. Now, you might wonder, what's so great about Jesus that I'd give up my personal resume that I've also invested a lot in to have Jesus instead? But if you were with us last week for Philippians 2, you might remember that standout description of Jesus. If you think about it, it's a lot like a resume too. Paul's resume looks amazing, right? Until we compare him with Jesus. Jesus' achievements are unsurpassed. Though equal with God, he didn't use that for himself. Instead, he emptied himself of God's glory to become human like us, to die in the cross in our place. And because of that, his status is unsurpassed. God raised Jesus from death and actually gave him full authority over the entire universe. That there is a resume you won't get close to with your own efforts. But the shockingly good news is that if you give up your own merits for acceptance and validation before others, before God, if you look at Jesus and say, he is all I need, and I'm going to rely on him alone, then you get to be found in him. Do you see what Paul's saying here? None of us deserves this, but if you rely on Jesus alone, then it's like you get to have your name added to his resume. Like that. Why? Because you're found in him. That's what Paul means when he says found in Jesus. You get the righteousness, the worthiness, the validation of Jesus himself. That actually goes for absolutely anyone who trusts in Jesus. Anyone who's found in him. That's actually why Paul is so harsh on anything else you might add to your personal resume. Nothing you do could be as good as what you're given in Jesus. So adding anything of your own on top of that, it actually just detracts from that. Paul's own credentials and achievements are awesome compared to most people, not compared to Jesus. So if he adds on top of what Jesus gives him, it actually taints the whole thing. I know that looks like a mess. It's meant to. That's why Paul goes so far as to call everything else dung. Not because each thing is bad in itself, but because it is bad when you add it on top of the resume you have in Jesus as another source of validation. So, imagine you're hiring for a role, right? You're working through the stack of resumes. You come across one that seems to have got something on the paper. You know, like, is that mud? Oh, no, that's not mud. If you come across a resume that actually somehow has dung on it, I'm imagining you're not going to say, well, aside from the dung, under the dung, the candidate's still got some strong credentials. No, the dung alone is going to be enough for you to toss it in the bin, right? Paul's saying you should feel that same revulsion at the thought of adding anything to the resume, the validation you get in Jesus. Naomi Osaka has just become the highest paid female athlete of all time. 78 million last year, apparently. Compared to most of us, that is a big thing to have on your resume, right? And if you had that on your resume, you wouldn't put things like, I don't know, that I was once in my high school soccer B team. Even if you were, and even if at the time you were quite proud that you were in the B's rather than the C's, if you got to be the highest earner ever, you're not going to put that up there alongside that on the resume. It would only detract from that. In the same way, if Naomi becomes a Christian, she's actually given all the worthiness, all the validation, all the righteousness of Jesus himself. And so if she adds highest earner ever as something she still gets validation from, even that, as great as it is, actually detracts from the validation she has in Jesus. It reminds me of a resume I saw back in my IT days, looking for to fill a programmer role. We get a flood of resumes come in, but one stands out from the rest. Because this guy, he starts his resume with a list of personal strengths, which was a bit different. So he had initiative, collaboration, creative problem solving, awesome. Attention to detail, awesome. Attention to what now? See, he would have thought adding a personal strength section to his resume made it stronger, but obviously it would have been better without it. The practical takeaway for you and me is we need to root out and eliminate all the things that we're adding to the resume that Jesus gives us. The things in your life you still try to get validation from, like Paul, you actually need to actively consider them as a loss, not a gain. Actually, even dung, something that's maybe really good in itself, but terrible if it's where you still look for validation and acceptance. For Paul, it was his Israelite identity. For the Philippians he's writing to, it's actually their identity as Roman citizens, all the status and privilege that comes with that. That's actually why verse 20, near the end of the chapter, Paul reminds them that in Jesus, they're really citizens of heaven. What is it for you? One tip is that what you rely on for validation is often revealed by what makes you sadder or angrier than you really should be. Paul, for instance, was, before he became a Christian, was so angry at the early Christians, he actually persecuted them, even killed some of them. Why? Maybe because of their message that Jesus saves you without the Israelite law, which actually threatened Paul's own validation. Same for the law-focused enemies of the cross that Paul talks about in verses 2 and 18. When the kids were younger, I'm afraid I used to get much angrier with them than I should. And I'd be like, thinking it through, yeah, what they did was bad, but also just what kids do. Why am I so angry? Oh, because of the way it reflects on me as a parent. That's not okay. If you get angrier or frustrated, more frustrated than you should with people at your work, maybe it's because you feel your reputation depends on success. If you're really upset at the moment at the way COVID is wrecking your plans, maybe it's because those plans were actually part of your personal resume. It's not the only way to tell, but it is one way, and it's worth thinking through. Where am I trying to find righteousness, validation, acceptance, apart from Jesus? Because freedom from your personal resume gives you freedom from that excess, sadness and anger. In fact, it brings joy. The English cricket team is out here for the Ashes at the moment, and it's a tour of Australia that is not bringing them much joy. There's calls for half the players to be sacked, for the captain Joe Root to stand down. Actually reminds me of back when Brendan McCullum led the New Zealand team on a similarly difficult tour of Australia. And he talked in an interview about how it felt as a player. He says, cricket's really different once it becomes your career. When you're a kid playing cricket, you wake up Saturday morning, pull the curtain back, and you hope to God it's not raining, so you get to play the game you love. But once cricket becomes your career, then there's the pressure. There's times when your place in the team is under threat because you're not performing. The media's writing articles about you. The fans are upset. So you wake up in the morning, pull the curtains back, and you hope it is raining, just so you don't have to face it all again. And that stood out to me, him saying that, because I think it is actually always the problem with building a personal resume. You can't rejoice in life when you're trying to prove yourself to people or to God. There's always this pressure to perform and succeed, and a fear of what it'll do to your resume if you don't. You can even take out the stress on others around you, which is not okay. But imagine if you didn't need to prove yourself to anyone. Just resting in Jesus, who has already sorted your worthiness, your validation, your righteousness for you. Living each part of your life, your work, your relationships, not to prove anything, but just as a joyful response to Jesus and what he's done for you. That's why Paul starts this passage with, "Rejoice in the Lord." Jesus can give you that joy if you give up your own merits before others and before God to be found in Jesus. I'm going to pray that each of us would. You might like to join me in that prayer. Heavenly Father, we cannot thank you enough for giving your Son to die for us, for showing how much we mean to you without us having done anything to deserve it. Thank you that just by trusting in Jesus, we actually get all of his righteousness, all of his worthiness, all of his validation, because we're found in him. Father, teach us to see and identify when we're seeking our validation elsewhere. Help us to see it as dung that just taints what we have in Christ. Help us to live not to prove anything to anyone, but as a joyful and thankful response to what Jesus has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.